Thank you for listening to the Streams Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. We are a community that strives to know Jesus and make him known. If you like our podcast, subscribe and leave us a great rating on Apple Podcasts. Thank you, and we hope you enjoy.
Thank you for the welcome. That's a big introduction for a small man. But, yeah. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we come before you this morning, we just give you thanks for who you are, Lord, for being Savior of our lives, just being the one who keep waking us up day in, day out, the one who keeps guiding and providing for us. We just ask right now, Lord, that your Spirit would come in as it dwells among us, that it would be making necessary changes in our hearts and in our lives, that it would be leading us into all truth this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, how are you guys doing this morning? Yeah, it seems like some people are all right, the rest are unsure. Life can be uncertain sometimes, you know. So, no need to rush. If you have a Bible with you this morning, or usually in today's time, it's pull up your tablet or your phone and open the app, right? But I like to say this to my church in Belize, if you have a phone or a tablet and there is no Bible app on it, then you are already failing. That's just how it goes, right? That should be like the first thing you download, you know, not your game or your Facebook or whatever. You should have that on there. We're going to be in the Gospel according to John this morning, John chapter 8. And we'll be looking at verse 31 through 36. So I promise you we will get there sometime before 1 today. So keep your finger on that, John 8, 31 through 36. And what I want to encourage you guys in this morning is to be rooted in your faith by abiding in the Word, right? Being rooted in your faith by abiding in the Word. So let's see how quick we can get to John chapter 8. Like I said, I promise it's going to be before 1. In 1836, a very popular hymn among many others was published by Edward Mote. And this hymn is called Solid Rock. It goes as follows, at least the first stanza or verse of it. It says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." Right? Now, we're in a time today where the truth of these words does not seem to be as firm as they sung. We're living in a day and age where people want Christ plus something else, or it's Christ plus someone else that is going to do it for them. Christ cannot be the only solid rock. He cannot be the only thing. They have to add something or someone to it in order for them to feel like they are standing on solid ground. And in this time and age, we are being influenced, and to a large degree, we are being told to think that it is near impossible for you and I to walk and live with Christ as the solid rock on which we stand. And when we do walk and live with Christ as the solid rock, the world look at us and call us narrow-minded people. They call us hateful people because they don't believe that this truth should still stand today. They think it should be done away with. You know, you can't just have Jesus. You need something else, someone else to add to that. So my hope today is to encourage you guys through the use of Scripture to be rooted in your faith in Jesus Christ. And of course, in order for us to get to a place where we are rooted in our belief, where we're rooted in our faith, we need to start by being rooted in the Word. This is where it all starts from. For I do not believe that you and I are capable of being rooted in our faith, or we are capable of being rooted without first being rooted in the Word of God. I believe that it is a daily reading, a daily devouring, a daily studying, and more importantly, a daily obedience to the Word that will move us from being shallow, that will move us towards an area where you and I can say that we are rooted in our faith, this faith that we have come to know in Jesus Christ. After all, it is near impossible for you to get someone to live and act in a way in regards to something that they do not believe. And likewise, it is near impossible for you to get someone to disbelieve or to live in a manner contrary to the things that they believe, right? So there's always this argument that goes on, sometimes in our heads, sometimes with other people, as to what is right, what is almost right, what should be right, or what we should follow. And you and I will constantly be thrown back and forth if we are not rooted in the Word of Christ. If we are not strong in our faith, we will be tossed back and forth on a daily basis. Now, this faith that we are supposed to have, according to Hebrews 11, it tells us that it is the assurance of things that we hope for and the conviction of things not seen. And by this faith, the people of old received their commendation. So the faith that we have and the hope that we have goes hand in hand with each other. They kind of interlock together, if we may say so. And the reason why I say this is because the object of our faith is also the object of our hope. We have faith in Jesus Christ, and we have hope in Jesus Christ. So they both meet together at the cross where we find Jesus Christ. And you and I, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we firmly believe and we expect that our God is going to perform everything and fulfill every promise that he has for us. And this is all in Jesus Christ, not outside of Jesus Christ, but in Jesus Christ. So the faith that we have, the conviction that we have is the evidence of things that we have not even seen. Remember Jesus said, you know, there are people who believe because of what they see, but blessed are those who will believe and they don't even see. Right? Faith for you and I, what it does is it makes plain to the eyes of the mind the things that are not plain to the eyes of the body. That which we can't physically see, we still understand and believe because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And then when we move from knowing what faith is, according to Hebrews 11, we go to Romans 10, where the Apostle Paul, in his writing, he tells us how we get this faith. He tells us where this faith comes from. And he says to us in Romans 10, 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So what we are supposed to have in Jesus, this faith, it comes from us hearing something, and that something that we hear is the very word of Christ himself. Now, if you would track with me, it seems that in order for us to be rooted in our faith, we definitely need to be rooted in the word. Because it is the word that is going to bring faith to us. It is the word that is going to make faith alive in our lives. So the more of the word we have, the stronger or more firm we can say you and I will be in our faith. Now, this brings us to our section of scripture for today, John 8, 31 to 36. It reads as follows. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, "We are offsprings of Abraham, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will be free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." So as Jesus is having this conversation, as he's having this exchange of words with these Jews who have come to believe, he first points them to what we would call one of the main or true characteristics of a true disciple, of a true follower of Jesus Christ. And mainly he said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple. Right? If you abide, if you remain, this Greek word, meno, you know, if you continue, if you would live in, if you would dwell in my words, you are truly my disciple. In other words, we can say, if you are rooted in my words, then you are truly my disciple. See, we need to not just believe, but also obey the words of Jesus Christ. And all of it, in every single areas of our life, we can't be sectioning off which areas we think we should use the words, which areas we think, oh, it only applies over here. In every single area of our life, without any kind of partiality, right? We need to stick with it to the end without turning away. Now, when you hear Jesus say that, hey, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple, of course our mind might run to the fact and say, hey, but I thought the way people would know that we are truly his disciple is our love for one another. Because that's the common one that people use all the time. Oh, they will know you believe because of how we love each other, because of how we interact. But guess what? That is true. But you wouldn't have known that if you were not in the words of Jesus Christ. It is because of his words, it is because you read it that you know love for one another is a chief characteristic of the disciples of Jesus Christ. So that even proves more that if you remain in his words, you are truly his disciple. Now, there's two important things that we need to know here, as Jesus said to the people, as the word of God says to you and I when we read the scripture daily, right? He gives what we would call two privilege or two benefits of the true disciples, of the true followers of Jesus Christ. So there in verse 32, we're told, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, this is a verse that we just throw out all the time, right? We know that, hey, if you know the truth will set you free. And we just say it without realizing what kind of weight it should carry in our lives. So what Jesus gave as kind of a prerequisite to this is that he said, if you abide, if you remain in my words, then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. So as a disciple, the two things, the two benefits or privilege that we have when we remain in the words of Jesus, when you and I are rooted in the words of Jesus, are this. He said, first, as a disciple, when you abide in my words, you will know the truth. Now this, for as much as it is a common statement, this is a very serious statement, because the implication here is that the truth will not be found outside of Jesus Christ. He said, if you remain in my words, then you will know the truth. If you go and get word from someone else, if you go to another place to find words, then you might not know the truth. But he guarantees us that if we remain, if we abide in his words, we will know the truth. When he prayed for us in John 17, he asked the Father to sanctify us in the truth, and then he said, your word is truth. Right? So, why will we know the truth if we abide? It is because his very words are truth. truth. So if we abide in them, if we remain in them, if we dive in and it becomes a part of our lives, then we will know the truth. But if you choose to do otherwise, if you choose not to abide in the words of Jesus, then the implication is that you will not know the truth. You will remain in darkness. If you are not rooted in these words of Jesus, then you will not know what to really believe. You will be tossed back and forth, as I said before, by every wind of information that comes your way. Every information that blows on you will be able to take you in the direction that it is going. But if you remain in his words and you know the truth, every information is not going to have a hold on you. You will be able to recognize lies and misleading things when they come your way. John, in this very same gospel, when he wrote in chapter 20, he said that these things are written, the words that we find in Scripture are written so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you and I may have life in his name. So these words are not just thrown out. They're not just put out there so that you and I can have information. They have a purpose in them. And Jesus said, what will happen when you remain in these words is that you will know truth. It is a privilege that is given to us by Jesus Christ himself, that you and I, as we follow him, as we show ourselves to be true believers and remain in his words, that we would know the absolute truth. Matthew Henry, in his commentary on John, he said that this is a gracious promise of Christ himself, that every single one of us, as followers of Christ, when we continue in his words, we will know the truth as far as it is needful and profitable for us here in this life. That you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, that we are sure to be well taught when we abide in the words of Christ. Now, while there are many things that we don't understand, while there are many things that we can't even comprehend on this side of heaven, there are many things that we do know on this side of heaven. But it is only by abiding in the word that we will know the truth. And because we have this word, if we root ourselves in it, we will know the truth. So the second privilege that Jesus gave to us, besides knowing the truth, he says, when you abide in his words, not only will you know the truth, but the truth will set you free, right? The truth will set you free. So we have a command from Jesus to, hey, abide. You will show yourself to be my true followers if you abide, if you remain in my word. And then two things are going to happen for you. You will know the truth, and this truth will set you free. See, when we recognize the truth that we have been justified by Christ himself, it makes us free from the guilt of our sin. When we recognize the truth that we are being sanctified on a daily basis, it makes us free from the bondage of our sin. This idea that Jesus is trying to give to you and I is that without faith in him, we will only have a life of slavery and bondage. There will be nothing else if we go outside of him. We all like the idea of freedom. We all like the idea of being free. But we don't realize that it comes at a cost. See, we have, my wife and I, we have two daughters, but oftentimes it feels like there's 9 kids in the house. And this is usually because she has some high schoolers that she ministers to from time to time, and they're always at the house. So it's kind of like we have extra kids all the time. And when you're dealing with these high school girls, we often hear them say that they can't wait until they're 18 years old so that they can move out of their parents' house and enjoy true freedom, you know, so that they can be free. And what they're not realizing is that which they desire is not freedom. they will quickly realize and they see this from others who have become 18 years or older and moved out of their parents' house. What they see is what was supposed to be freedom, what they thought would be freedom, what looked like freedom to them is not freedom at all. They quickly become slaves to the fast life. They become slaves to parties and whatever else they get involved in when they move out and go into what they thought would be freedom. And then that is the point where they come to realize that what they thought was bondage in under their parents' authority was actually protection from everything that would enslave them when they go out into the world. But of course, the idea of freedom is so intriguing to them that they can't wait. 18 years, I'm out of that. I'm going into true freedom. And then they realize that what they went into is actually slavery. See, for us, those who run around and despise the command and the statutes of the Lord are not free people. You know, a lot of people look at Christianity and they look at those who are disciples of Jesus Christ and they say, oh, we live like, you know, like we are in bondage, like we are under some kind of slavery. They look at themselves who are able to live how they want, do whatever they want, and enjoy what the world calls freedom, and they say they're free. But really, those are the people who are not free. Those are the people who are still slaves to sin and they're still in bondage to the things of this world. They're in bondage to sin, but more so they're in danger of eternal damnation unless they repent from that life. But for us who love the Lord and his commands and his statute, we are free from the cuffs of sin. It has no hold on us anymore because we are the one who are living in true freedom. We are the one who have come to know the truth. And because we know the truth, we are now set free from the slavery of this world. But here is the thing. If we are not rooted in the Word, then we will not be rooted in the things that we believe. If we are not rooted in the Word, we will not know what we should really believe. And if we are not rooted in the Word, we will not know if we are free or if we are still in bondage. And if we get to a place where we don't know what we truly believe about Jesus Christ and the Scripture, then we are in a very precarious situation. The enemy is just waiting to lure us in. He's waiting to give us half-truths and to give us false information and bring whatever kind of heresy he needs to bring. And then eventually he's going to pull us down to destruction. There are many things in this world today, and we know this, we hear it all the time. Some of us might even come face to face with these things. There are many things in the world today that are very, very popular, but it is not what the Lord wants for us. It is not the things that Jesus would have us get into because it is not the truth. And if we get into them, we will not be set free, but we will be in bondage. The only way you and I will be able to rebel against these things is if we are rooted in the words of Christ. See, when we look at the Scripture, we find in 1 Corinthians 16 where we are told to be watchful, to stand firm in our faith, to act like men or women, and to be strong, right? Now, when the Scripture encourages us to be watchful, it is because we are living in a dangerous time. If we are not watchful, if we are not standing guard against that which is coming against us, we will be cut off at any time. We will be blindsided by things that are going to be very bad for us. When the Scripture encourages you and I to stand firm, it means that there is always this desire and this opportunity that you and I would want to slouch or slack up and be lazy. And this is one area of our life, at least right now in the present age, where we are not, without a shadow of a doubt, we cannot be lazy, we cannot be slouching. right? We need to be firm in our faith. And in order for us to get there, we need to be in the Word. We need to abide, to remain. We need to dwell in the words of Jesus Christ. Because that is how you and I will be able to stand firm in the faith. Now, let's look at nature for a minute. Consider trees. I know you guys have a lot of, my friend David call them brown trees here in Phoenix, right? Because I'm from Belize where everything is green. So he said we only have brown in Phoenix. When you look at trees, we know some trees have shallow roots, right? And if it rains too much and the ground gets soft and then the wind blows, they fall over. There's not much to hold them in the ground. But we also know that some trees have very strong roots, that those that have what they're called tap roots. It goes deep down into the ground. And it doesn't matter how hard it rains, it doesn't matter how much wind blows, they don't move. They stand their ground. They are firm there. Right? And for some of us in here this morning, we might feel like those trees that have shallow roots. We might feel like everything that comes and goes, whenever the wind blows too hard, we're taken away. You know, if the rain falls too much, we get weak and we want to fall down. And then there are others in here who might be strong and firm, who might be steadfast in the faith already, immovable. You know, it doesn't matter what comes or goes, they stand their ground. But whichever group you find yourself in, there's room for growth still, even for those who are strong. But for those who have shallow roots, there's room for adapting so that you can thrive in these times that we're now facing. Right? If you would look at there are these trees called the redwood over in the next state. I don't know which direction is that, California? So over there, whichever direction that is. Right? And they're huge trees, like, you know, 200 plus feet up, but they don't have deep roots. The roots only goes maybe 6 to 12 feet. And of course, if you would just look at it, you have 200 feet that way, 12 this way, of course that thing should fall over. But they don't. And you know why? Because they adapt. They grow close together and the roots intertwine with each other. So all the trees, their roots connect together, and as a result, they're able to hold each other up. They don't fall in rain or strong wind. And for us, disciples of Jesus Christ, we should be doing the same thing. We should be locking arms with each other. You know, those people who are weak, find others to lock arms with. Maybe the area in which you are weak, that person is strong. And where that person is weak, you're strong. And as a result, we'll be able to hold each other up. We'll be able to stand in the faith. And as we lock arms and join together, we should constantly be in the Word so that we are rooted in the Word. And we help each other to grow. So for as much as life is complicated, and right now we might say it's crazy with everything that is going on in the world, the formula that Jesus gave to us this morning is very simple, right? The more you are rooted in the truth, which we will only find in His Word, the more you are rooted in that, the less lies you will be believing from this world. The more you know, the more you know the Word of God and the more obedient you are to it, the less likely you will be to fall into the traps and the schemes that are out there in this sinful world. So if you want to be rooted in your faith, if you want to grow in faith and be strong, then you must first start by being rooted in the Word of God. You must start by making Jesus the foundation of your life. You must start by building your life on Him, anchoring yourself to Him. Let Him be the solid rock on which you stand. Because the truth is, all other grounds apart from Jesus will be sinking sand. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word here this morning, Lord. Thank You for the people that are here. And Lord, we just ask that you would stir within us a desire for your word. Father, if we have been slacking up or feeling birth within our hearts a new and deep desire to be rooted in your word. We ask, Lord, that as your spirit leads and go before us, that it would just watch over us as we go into the next week. Father, that we would find people that we can lock arms with to help us grow, to help us stand, that we would not try and walk a lonely road. Pray that we would take advantage of the community that you have given us, the community of believers that is available to us, Lord. We ask that you just lead us and go before us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our sermon. If you want to know more about us, you can find us at streamschurch.org or on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And if you enjoyed this content, subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Till next time, have a great week.